This morning.
I was listening, been on my mind for about a week now when the first day or two of the revival, remember the preacher was saying that, I can't quote word for word, but in a sense he said that, that we're not worthy to go to heaven. And I got to thinking about that. And back when I was younger, you know, I always thought, well, I was good enough, you know. I could do good things, make it, you know, a good impression on people, and think, well, if I can be good enough, then it'll all be all right. And there was one point, I just passed my spiritual birthday in March 19th. And I hadn't been in church for, at that point, I think I was almost 32, and I hadn't been in church since I was 15 years old. And we got there that morning, and we were there the week prior to it, and I told my wife, and the congregation singing, and everybody singing, one of my favorite songs is I Fly Away, even though I was lost. And I did not steal one of my favorite songs for some reason. But when we left that first night.
Yep, yeah. All right, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We've heard some great preaching this week. And appreciate Brother Dale. And but Brother Dale's not here. It's just me. So y'all's going to have to just suck it up and go through it, I reckon. That's all I tell you, all right? Gospel of John, chapter 20, all right? Everybody all right? Let's pray together, then we'll give you some thoughts this morning. Father, you are wonderful to me, and I get to come to you and ask of you. I'm needy, and Lord, I'm just like any kid. I come to you because I don't have, and you got it, and I need it. And I ask you to help me this morning. Lord, I'm unworthy. I thought as R.C. was talking, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to handle this book. I'm not worthy to stand in this pulpit. Not worthy to come to be with you. But you've made me something different. And I sure do thank you for that. I ask you to speak to our heart as we would preach this morning. Let me be mindful of thy sweet spirit. And Lord, I pray that the word of God will be what is listened to as the Holy Spirit directs our heart and our mind. Lord, I pray for everyone that's listening, that they might listen in the power of the Holy Spirit as I preach in the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. I pray, oh God, that you will speak as only you can. I thought of what Trish already saying, when you spoke my name, speak our name this morning, call us personally, speak to us personally, I pray, and I'm going to sure thank you for all that you do, in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 20, we're going to read down through verse 10 for a moment anyway. John chapter 20, start at verse 1, going to read down through verse 10, all right? It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. We'll stop right there for now. And we know this is Easter. We know this is the day we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate the greatest day. Now, I know he had to be born. We celebrate his birth. He had to be born. I understand that. But can I tell you, he was born, but he was God. And he could have said, well, they ain't worth it, and I ain't going to die for him. He did, even though that was his plan. I just want you to understand, he's God, and he could have done anything he wanted to do. But he kept the plan, and he died for our sins. And that's a wonderful day now that we can celebrate that he's alive. Now, I want you to understand something. He is alive. Now, he's not on the cross. Preacher made that plain the other night. He's not on the cross. He's not on a crucifix somewhere. All right? He's not there. All right? And if you've got that, you probably ought to get rid of it, because it's just that you're deceiving people, because that's just a lie. He's not there. Now, I'm not maybe as kind as the preacher preached this week, but the Pope was on the news, and I don't usually watch the news, and I always have to watch it when I shouldn't. And he was carrying a cross Friday. And as he's carrying the cross, they interviewed him or talked to him, listened to him, and he said that he was continuing carrying the cross for Christ and the suffering of the people today. That he was continuing the suffering. Now that's what he said. Well, I just want you to understand something. There ain't no suffering in Christ today. He's done suffering. He's not on the cross. He suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary. They buried him. He rose again the third day. And he is alive and well, but he's not suffering. He's not suffering. And can I tell you this morning, if you don't have him, you need to come to him, because he is the only Savior that's alive. The only one. Every other religion, every other denomination have another God, every other cult, all their leaders are dead. But mine's not dead this morning. The Bible's Savior is not dead this morning. He's alive and well. Amen. I want you to understand that. Now, when I look at this text, this scripture, and we see Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb. We know the story. We know the account. And it's not just a story, it's the account in story form, if you would, as John tells it. And Mary Magdalene come to the tomb, and she looks in, and there's nothing there. She's concerned. You know, they was worried about who was going to roll the stone away. They was worried about all that. How they going to get in to make sure there's enough spices and stuff in there for everything. Everything was supposed to have been done. And they was there looking to see. Well, they go and the stone rolled away. There ain't nobody in there. She comes back and tells the disciples. And they're all huddled up in a corner somewhere, all scared to death. And Peter and John take off for running. Now you can imagine, if you can picture in your mind them running. Couldn't have been too far. Where they was waiting. Can you imagine them running in the dark to the cemetery? And run up there to the... And of course, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he runs. And I always pictured him younger than Simon Peter. I don't know if he was or not, but he outrunned him anyway. And he got up there and he looks in. And Peter don't wait for him to do it. Peter just bails on through. That's Simon Peter is one of my heroes. I fall like he does. I stick my foot in my mouth like he does. I make mistakes like he does. But I'm gung-ho at the moment. All right, that's Simon Peter, if you can think about it like that. He runs right on in. Well, ain't nothing there. In the way there, the tomb is empty. John goes in. The tomb's empty. Well, they go back home.
Right.
Tomb's empty, they go back home. Well, wonder what they found. Wonder what they saw when they went in there. Well, this morning, I probably preached this title in the past, and probably hundreds of other preachers have too, but I'm going to give you a thought this morning. What we see in an empty tomb.
Yeah.
what we can see when ain't nothing there.
Yeah.
Huh? There's a lot there to be saw. If you go looking, if you look real deep inside, you're going to find more things in there than what you ever thought you could see. We're just going to give you a couple of them this morning. Y'all all right? Y'all ready for that? Well, let's see what we can find. Well, it says, let's look back at the scripture. Start at verse 1. First day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and they came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went on in. Well, they looked in. There ain't nobody there. Well, what did he see? What was there? Well, there was a lot there this morning. Can I tell you what the main thing that was there? The main thing that was there was the finished work of God. That's what was in the empty tomb. The finished work of a loving Savior. It was finished. Look over in John chapter 19 and verse 30. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Well, it's finished. The work out of all of salvation was done right there. The finished work. Christ went in the tomb. They laid him in the tomb. He arose. And can I tell you this morning that there's no more work to be done to be able to be saved this morning. The work has been finished. And you can't work to get there. You're going to have to go by faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Because what I see in the empty tomb is the finished work. It's the gospel. It's what I see over in 1 Corinthians. Can we turn there for a minute? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start at verse 3. Verse 1 tells us, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. All right, this is the gospel. The gospel is a finished work. It says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. That's all that's in the gospel. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when they looked into the tomb and he wasn't there, then it was fulfilled. It was finished. There wasn't no more to be done to salvation's plan.
Amen.
You ain't good enough to work with. R.C. done preached a message for us this morning. He told us about himself. Huh? You're a pretty good fella. You're not. Can I tell you, if you're not saved, you're not a pretty good fella.
That's right. That's right.
You're not. You can't do nothing to change that. You're going to have to come to Christ.
Yes.
And he finished the work for us. Think about that.
Amen.
What would you have to do? What do you think you would have to do to get to heaven? Think about it. What would you have to do? How much of it would you have to do? For how long would you have to do it? What if you mess up and leave one out?
Huh?
What if they would tell you that you had to go to church all the time? Can't be it. Well, ain't none of us go. What if it said you can't think nothing bad? Well, ain't nobody going there, Nate?
No.
Huh? Well, you got to give money. Well, there's sometimes they ain't had no money to give.
Right.
What kind of work will you do? Well, you have to be nice to everybody. Well, ain't nobody going there. Because everybody ain't nice to everybody.
Right.
Huh? So what kind of work are you going to have to do?
Right.
Well, I'm just a good person. Well, what makes you a good person? What makes you a good person this morning? If you're not depending on Christ, then we're going to depend on you. All right? So what are you doing? We're going to go your way. So you're a pretty good person. What kind of person are you? Well, it's the same thing I've told you over and over and over. Have you ever lied? Anybody here ever lied?
Yeah.
You know what you are? You're a liar.
That's right.
I thought you was a pretty good person. Anybody here ever looked upon someone and lusted? Well, you know what you are? Well, you're not an adulterer. Bible, even though the Bible says if you look upon someone and lust that you committed adultery, actually you're not an adulterer. You're a lying adulterer. Because you was a liar first. Yeah. Have you ever stole anything? Have you ever gossiped about anybody? If you ever gossiped about anybody, you're a thief because you stole their testimony. Right? So you may not have stole a tangible object, but if you ever gossiped or said something negative about someone, you stole their testimony. So what are you? You're a thief. No, you're not a thief. Because you're a lying adulterous thief.
You're right.
So you're not a good person.
Right.
See, if I follow you, I'm going to follow somebody that's just like me.
Right.
And if you're going to follow me, you're going to follow somebody that's just like you. And that ain't going to get nobody anything.
That's right.
So God come from heaven and put on a robe of flesh and went to the cross and died for our sins. And when he died for our sins, they took him and buried him, and he rose the third day, and it finished the work that God had set out for him to do. It finished it. So when I look in an empty tomb, I see a finished work that nobody has to do anything other than accept what has been laid out for you. So simple. That's what I see in the empty tomb. What do you see? Can you see that this morning? I see it's finished. No one else has to suffer for it. You don't have to suffer for salvation. There's some people that think they... Now, I know the preacher preached to us all week that there is suffering. But that's after we're saved. We suffer because we're like Christ. But you don't suffer to get saved.
Right.
You know, these people think they need to go to a mountain and live in solitude and eat bread and water and shave their head and do all these things. That's not the road to salvation.
Right.
I mean, let me tell you, the road to salvation simply starts when you understand your loss.
Right.
And just soon you understand your loss, you're immediately at the place of salvation. For Christ has already died for you. And when you realize that you're lost, look up.
Amen.
Trust Christ, because you're there at the place of salvation this morning. The only place you have to go to be saved is the place you see your loss.
Right.
That's it. It don't have to be in the church house. It can be on the job. It can be at home. It can be out in the woods. Be out in your car. But somewhere you're going to have to see yourself lost and believe on the finished work of a loving Savior this morning. So that's what I see in empty tomb. I see a finished work. But there's more there. There's more there. Can we look on? Y'all want to look on? Verse 4 said that, and they were still in chapter 20. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went to the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Let's stop right there. What else can I find? I see something else that's so vitally important to me right there, is I not only see the finished work of a Savior, but I see a future promise right there. I see my future is all wrapped up in the grave clothes of my Savior. See, had he been stolen, they'd have took him in his clothes.
Right.
He didn't just roll out and disappear and vanish in a vapor like the Jehovah's Witness will teach you.
Right.
Can I tell you, he didn't raise spiritually. He raised bodily.
Amen.
And he got up. He said, if I lay my life down, I will pick it up again. I'm going to get up. And he got up and took him old grave clothes off and laid him over here and took that napkin off his face and laid it over here and done everything decently in order, because that's my Savior. And when he put that napkin over there, he promised that I'm coming back. I'm not finished. And he fulfilled a promise that I get to go be with Him, and the future that's there in that empty tomb is far greater than I could ever explain to you this morning. The future that's there in that empty tomb. What do you mean the future? Well, He raised up. He raised up. Y'all believe He raised up? I believe He raised up. How about Romans chapter 8? Can we go there? Y'all all right? Romans chapter 8. How about verse 11? But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Listen, I got a promise that I get to get up to. Go ahead and lay this old body out there. It'll come out of there. It ain't going to lay there long. I have a future that's promised me this morning. But that ain't all. See, that napkin being laid aside is something very vitally important.
Oh, yeah.
That is custom.
Yeah.
Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't a blonde-haired American. He was a Jew. And He done everything right. And over in Acts chapter 1, verse 10, says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Now you know this is done 40 days, 50 days after Jesus had done resurrected.
Right.
Days had done, weeks had done passed, and He sends up to the Father, and as He's going up, the angels say, now listen, this same Jesus. The same Jesus that was born in Bethlehem. No, the same Jesus that spoke the world into existence. John chapter 1 says nothing was made that was not made by Him. And that same Jesus over before eternity started that we see making all the world in Genesis chapter 1. The one who come into Bethlehem Major. The one who walked on the shores of the Galilee there. The ones who touched blinded eyes and made crippled legs walk and raise the dead. That same Jesus that hung there on the cross and died for my sin. That same Jesus that they buried. That same Jesus that rose from the grave that day is the very same Jesus that's promised to come again and receive us into Himself.
That's right.
My future this morning. My future is promised. That's what I see in that empty tomb. There's a lot in there. There's a lot in an empty place. You expect to go into an empty place, ain't going to be nothing there. I went to a lot of empty rooms, ain't nothing there. Can I tell you, I got a finished work I find there. I got the future that is promised me right there. But that ain't all. There's a lot in there. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
Let's look here again, back to John chapter 20. Where was we at? Verse 7. Says, and the napkin that was about His head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre. And he saw and believed. Well, that's interesting. Is it not? And he saw and he believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture. Now, you know why they didn't know the Scripture? You know why John didn't know the Scripture? Because they hadn't read it yet. Ain't that deep? You know why they didn't know the Scripture? Because they hadn't wrote it down yet. Okay? Ain't no doubt there. There's no problem there. There wasn't any of His disciples that wasn't reading their Bible. They hadn't one yet. That's what John's doing right there, is writing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what he had to believe? He just had to believe the words of Jesus.
Yeah.
He looked and he saw and he said, well, he ain't in there. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And he believed and went home. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
He just believed and went home. Ain't that pretty simple?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, what did he believe? Well, he remembered Jesus saying that if you tear this temple down, in 3 days, I'll raise it up again.
Yep.
Now, the reason I know he remembered that or that he heard that is because everywhere he went, Jesus couldn't get him off of him. He followed Jesus so close, when Jesus turned around, he had to walk around John. John was right there. All the time wanting to lay his head over on his breast. He was that close to Jesus.
Yeah.
He heard Jesus breathe. He heard Jesus' heartbeat. Yeah. But I believe he heard the words that Jesus said. I believe he knew when Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days. I believe, well, that's what he did. Can you see John peeping in? Well, I believe. I believe. See, that's what you got to do this morning, just believe. See, I'm persuaded people misunderstand some things. I believe you ought to read your Bible after you say. I believe you ought to read your Bible. But if I'm going to wait on you to read your Bible before you get saved, you're liable to go to hell reading it.
Yeah. That's right.
You're going to have to believe by faith.
Yeah.
Are you understanding me?
Yeah.
See, there's very few Christians that read their Bible, so I doubt there's very many lost people that read their Bible.
That's right.
But what you can do is take it by faith. See, John didn't have a scripture to read about the resurrection. John didn't have the scripture that he could have turned to and said, wait a minute, in 3 days he's told me that in 3 days he'd arise. He didn't have that that he could turn to right then. You know what he had to believe? He had to believe what Jesus had already told him. Look at me this morning. If you're not saved this morning, you're lost without God, without hope. You need to believe what Jesus said.
Right.
He said, let not your heart be troubled.
Right.
You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the way you know. And they said, well, how can we know the way? How do we know? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. That's what you're going to have to believe. Now, if you want to go to school and read your Bible and learn, that's good. I know people that have read their Bible, and because of that they got saved. I know they have. Melvin Irv got saved by reading through his Bible. He wasn't reading it just to see. He was reading it because he was wanting to see what it really said, because what he was seeing and what people said wasn't matching up. Are you listening to me? I'm not telling you not to read your Bible. I'm telling you this morning that you're going to have to, by faith, believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from earth, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus said, come follow me. It's what Jesus said. Jesus said that there's two ways that you can enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Right.
That's what Jesus said. Jesus said there'll come a day that many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils and done many marvelous works in your name? And they'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And he said, for I liken you to a man who built his house upon a rock, and the storms come and the flood came and the house stood still. It stood firm. But another man, a foolish man, built his house on the sand, and the floods came. And the wind blew, and the house fell flat. You got to take what Jesus said.
Yes.
You believe that this morning?
Yes, sir.
Will you believe that?
Yes.
He said, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I won't turn you away. I won't tell you you got to be better. I won't tell you you got to do more. I won't tell you you got to go there. I'll tell you if you'll just come to me. And that's what John did. John just looked well. Just peeped in and believed. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
He looked in and believed. Huh? That's just simple faith. You know what I find in that empty tomb? Are you with me this morning? I find the finished work.
Yeah.
It's already been done for you. Just going to have to believe it.
Yeah.
I find a future promised. I find faith for anybody. But there's something else I find. I ain't read it yet. We'll read them. Give you one more thing. Trista's son. Trista's son, I laughed. I thought, I said this. Thank the Lord for his One Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
John chapter 20, verse 11. Y'all okay with me?
Oh, yeah.
See, when I think about that faith, let me go back a moment. When I think about that faith that John, when he just looked and believed, he said, where did he look at? He looked in the empty tomb. Are you following me? Where did he look at? Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him, where? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. Is that not what it said? For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that first verse, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart, what? That God raised him from the dead. You look in, John looked in and believed, and it's by faith this morning. Don't want you to forget, it's a faith in a risen Savior. Is that plain enough this morning?
Amen.
Let me give you one more thing, then we'll quit. All right? But Mary stood, verse 11, where we're at, John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And see, two angels in white setting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now let's not be hard on Mary. It's dark. She's been bawling her eyes out. She's tore up. And it ain't because he looked different, or it ain't because he was some grotesque creature of some sort. No. She looked and seen Jesus there, and she didn't realize who she was looking at. We okay with that? Verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She supposed him to be the gardener. Saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I'll take care of him. You tell me where y'all put him, I'll take care of him." She loved him so much. And Jesus said to her, I love this, "Mary." Mary. He didn't say, "Hey, you." He didn't call just a whole bunch. He said, "Mary." Hey, nobody speaks like that man. And then what he said, "Hey, nobody speaks like him." But he said, "Mary," she immediately, what's it say? What's the scripture say? She turned herself and said to him, "Rabboni," which is say, "Master." Oh, she knew his voice. 50, you sung it well. Huh? And we didn't go over no songs or nothing. I never told him nothing to sing. Huh? Can I tell you? What else you find in there? You find a faithful friend. Are you hearing me? You'll find a finished work.
Yes.
You'll find a future promised. Huh? You'll find faith that you can believe. You'll find faith that you can believe with.
Yes, right.
Huh? Because he was true in what he said, you shouldn't have no trouble believing that he rose. But you find a faithful friend. See, I got a faithful friend. I got one who knows me when I'm sad. He knows me when I'm glad. I got a friend that's there when I'm bad and when I'm good. I got a friend there that when I'm weak, he makes me strong. Sometimes he'll let me be weak. That I can just depend on his strength. Sometimes he don't strengthen me at all. Sometimes he just carries me and does it all by himself. He's a faithful friend.
Yeah.
Marcus told me something the other day that really brought some of this to light. he was down there and they was in the prayer room and he was telling, they talking about prayer, reckoning. He said, you know, he said, they's one of the men that come up here last year to revival with them, Chad. He's one of the deacons down there. Him and Mark is pretty good buddies. And he said, you know, I can call Chad and Chad will help me do anything I need done. He said, but if I can't get a hold of Chad, he said, I can call my daddy. And he said, it don't matter what dad is doing. It don't matter where he's at. Whatever's going on. If he said, dad, I need you. He said, dad will lay down everything and get in the car and drive straight down here. He said, but I got to wait. He said, Chad will help me, but I got to wait till he gets there. He said, I know my daddy will help me, but I got to wait till he drives 3.5 hours to get here. He said, but not my friend. Not my friend, my faithful friend. That when I call on him immediately, just soon I need him, he's already there. He ain't coming, he's already there.
Amen.
You understand that? I don't wait for him to get there and he can get there quicker. He's there before I say, hey, I need you. He's already, because he's a faithful friend. I got that old dog over at the house, that lab, and he's aggravating this one human I know. And I can't do nothing without him. I mean, I go out there trying to plant some stuff in the garden yesterday, and we planted potatoes the other day. I'd plant them, and he'd pick them up. I'd plant them, he'd pick them up. He didn't run all the way, he'd just pick them up. I put them in the ground, he'd pick them up. I planted onions, I'd plant onions, he'd pick them up. He'd put them back down where I'd have to pick them up again. All right? He'd get between me and whatever I have raised beds, and he would get between there and stick his head up where he wanted to see what I was going to do next. But can I tell you, when I need him to do something, he don't listen. See, he's faithful. But sometimes he ain't much of a friend. We need to think about what a faithful friend is.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody like Jesus.
Amen.
And we never would have found nothing if there had been something in that tomb.
Yeah, that's right.
And because there ain't nothing in the tomb, I find more than I need.
Amen.
This morning. I find more than I need in an empty tomb. I find the finished work of a loving God. Huh? I find a future promised and I'm not going to stay here. I get to go be with Him. For I shall see Him as He is and I shall be like Him.
Huh?
I find a faith that can be believed, that I can believe with. Everything He said was done exactly. Huh? And I can believe Him. I find that in an empty tomb, but I find a faithful friend. Mar.
Oh,
yeah. Mar.
Yeah.
Yeah, he don't say, hey, you.
Well.
You know where it starts? It starts when you get saved. He'll call your name. He'll call you, draw you. That sweet Holy Spirit, which is God. That sweet Holy Spirit, which is Christ. Go back and read on over in the Gospel of John where Jesus said, it's going to be me, but I'm going to be in spirit form. I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm the Father. I'm the Son. Huh? Comes and knocks on your heart's door. Huh? Warning entrance, warning you. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. He didn't say, come and do some great way. He said, come just follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And this morning, that's where you're going to have to start. You're going to have to start with Christ and that finished work. Gerald, go to Piana. He'll give you a promised future. He'll increase your faith every day to believe, and He'll be the most faithful friend you could ever have. But you're not going to find unless you look in the empty tomb. You're going to have to look where Jesus suffered and bled and died and rose again. Think about that this morning. Let's stand together. I don't know your condition this morning. I don't know your situation. But let me ask you, are you saved this morning? I want you to look me in the eye this morning and tell me, are you a saved man? Are you a saved woman? Are you a saved mama? Are you a saved daddy? Are you a saved child? Are you a saved young person? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Have you looked in that tomb and said, well, I believe. Are you ready this morning? If not, won't you slip out of your seat? Walk down this aisle and just say, I'm coming, believing I'm a sinner. And I'm wanting to accept Christ as my Savior. How about you do that this morning? Would it be anybody who would like to trust Christ this morning? You come as we sing. Maybe you've missed the road. Maybe you're a little bit sideways on God this morning. You ain't living the way you ought to be living. You ever been? I've been crossways with the Lord. Huh? You ever been crossways with the Lord this morning? I have. I've been off on the berm. I've been up the ditch. I've been up the brush. Huh? Won't you get back down on the road this morning? Won't you come? Find your place and get things right with the Lord. Let's sing right now. Won't you come?